Gracious God, we do come and sing for joy for the many different ways you are present in our lives. As we come around your word here this morning, we pray that you would speak to us. Use it that we might be transformed in new ways through our faith, through our lives of faith, and our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. We do continue to explore some of the book of Psalms today. Today is Psalm 30. Listen as we hear God's word for us this morning. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this has been a heavy week for me personally and for our family. Our dear friend lost her mother to cancer about a week and a half ago, and we attended a memorial service to celebrate her life on Thursday this week. And while it was a sad occasion, it was also a good opportunity to be together as their friends and family gathered. And as often is the case, extended family that had not seen one another in quite some time used this occasion to be together again. Then on Friday, I had the difficult task of officiating at the funeral for a family from our preschool who lost their 7-month-old daughter about a week ago to an unknown cause. The grandparents are Walt and Joanne Kinsey, who are members here at Central. And in this situation, what can we say other than to hold on to hope and the promises we find in God's word? Nothing else makes any sense for us. And finding some promise in the midst of senseless loss is always a challenge. The focus of Psalm 30 is also echoed in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. But what does it mean to be restored, especially when life has ended and there seems to be nothing good on the horizon, when grief is overwhelming? In the midst of all the grief this week, I met also with the stepdaughter of Keith Anderson, who plans to be married later this summer. She had planned to marry about 3 years ago, but when Keith, our former custodian, was in a tragic car accident 2.5 years ago, which left him as a quadriplegic and which has challenged their entire family as they seek to care for him, everything was put on hold, and life took a new trajectory for the immediate future. I have visited with Keith a number of times over the past few years. And Keith, in a way, has been restored, but his life will never be the same as it once was. I think if you were to ask Keith, in some ways he will grieve this, but in other ways he has been so full of gratitude for the life that he has been given again. It's not without frequent trips to the hospital, infections and complications, but it is still life. And his transformation has been truly remarkable. Restoration is the process of returning something to its original condition or as close as possible to its original condition. It's also reinstating a practice. It may be recovering something that was lost, but to get it back to the way it first appeared. But what is interesting about restoration is that no matter how arduous the process or how detailed or perfected the restoration is in the end, it can never be exactly the same. There's something new. There's something different. And in the replacement, there are many subtle changes that differ from the original. The same goes for those of us who long for the good old days. If you haven't said it aloud, you've been thinking it, I'm sure. As a friend of mine once said, the good old days really weren't that good. Do you want to go back to a time when we didn't have the internet or electricity or indoor plumbing? Some of you might. But when we pine for the past and the memories that we hold, we tend to gloss over the parts of that past that weren't all that great to begin with. Or we forget that we may actually have been longing for better days ahead, even in the good old days. One of the beautiful and disturbing things about the Psalms is that they are brutally honest. As we have discovered over the past few weeks in this series, the Psalter encompasses the broad range of emotions and experiences that are true to life. And just like life, they are not all sunshine and roses. The Psalms tell it like it is. And this includes wishing that God would smite one's enemy, vengeance and the killing of someone else's children, wishing that God would often take life instead of saving it. There is self-loathing, mourning and grief, regret and remorse. And while these are not necessarily bad sentiments, they are not the way we often think of the Word of God. Yet they are consistent with any genuine relationship. While many of the Psalms are attributed to King David, who is known in history as a great man, but when the fullness of his story is revealed, we know that he was filled with many troubles. Is one remembered for the complete collection of their life's work or just for the highlight reel that captures the very greatest accomplishments? Not only is there restoration in this psalm today, but there is also resurrection. There is the raising up and the rescuing from the pit, the opportunity to use one's life of salvation for the purpose of praising God. What profit is there in my death? Will the dust praise you? In the hope of the resurrection is the promise that we see in Jesus Christ. And these words echo from funeral to memorial service to graveside burial and committal. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. It is because we are part of the body of Christ in this world that our hopes are placed in something greater than this world. If there can be resurrection in the life to come, then there can be full restoration in the life we have right now. Enter the giraffe. Some of you may be familiar with the idea of repurposing, or what is called upcycling, where an object or material that has since used up its previous life is created for something new. And while there is the sign and symbol of what existed before, the new form looks nothing like the original. This is a giraffe that was made by hand by one of our family members. She has a business in upcycling materials, and through her handiwork and creativity, there is a whole new life revealed. This giraffe started out as some old fabric. Looks like upholstery or maybe some drapes. And I believe she took them and made them into these amazing creatures. After she started selling many of them, and after she had a hard time keeping up with the demand and the orders, it grew into another idea. And the idea for a coloring book was born. It spawned a great story and a larger world, and even included a bit of merchandise along the way. So our children all have giraffes and the books and t-shirts. In addition to this, she's made earrings out of bottle caps, wristbands, bow ties, and other types of jewelry. Her creativity has restored the life of items that would otherwise have been finished. By extending the life of these materials, a whole new life has taken shape. If this isn't an illustration of our faith, I don't know what is. The opportunity to explore new ways of using the old, the gifts that we have, that we take, what has been worn down and used up within us, and finding new ways to restore life and value, these are foundational for the ways we can be at work in the world. There are many with that entrepreneurial spirit, those who are able to take what is and apply a vision for what could be. It's not for everyone, but in freeing up ourselves to tap the creativity God has given us, we may be able to completely renew and resurrect the old. This past week, I also attended our meeting of presbytery along with some of our elders. It too was filled with grief for me, as I've had to be part of several larger teams of people who are moving through a very difficult reality that is likely the closing down of our Camp Donegal. After many attempts to revitalize what was, to restore the way things used to be, it is just not going to happen. And with this reality upon us, we are challenged to think in different ways about camp ministry in and throughout our particular region in this part of Pennsylvania as Presbyterians. It's been filled with grief for many of us, for all of us, because I spent part of my faith formation in this very place. Some of you did as well. Sharing in a ministry that strengthened myself and many other young people, we are deeply in prayer about the new things God might resurrect from this particular void in ministry. At the same meeting, I learned of a long-established ministry of Paoli Presbyterian Church, where they take good used furniture from those willing to donate it. They then store it, and then they offer it free of charge to someone in need who can use it for a new purpose, while keeping in mind their guideline, no junk for Jesus, one that I also try to institute here at Central. These quality pieces of furniture move from their former homes and into the new locations of many in that community who have absolutely nothing in their new place of living. It's a simple, powerful way to meet a need, to be the bridge between the old and the new, and to restore lives to a place of flourishing and vitality. And we, as you know, are involved in many ministries like this through this place. On this weekend, when we mark all kinds of different freedom that we enjoy, not only as Americans, but especially as followers of Jesus Christ and as children of God, we are filled with blessing and opportunity. And for as much as we may be longing for times gone by, our eyes ought to be set on how God has restored our faith in times of weakness and despair. We should be filled with hope, and our vision should be cast on what might yet be and what is to come. God has not only pulled us up out of the pit, but God has offered us new life. Life that is restored, reconciled, and resurrected once again. That should bring us freedom like no other. That should fill us with new life today and in the times that are to come. Thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for such a gift as this. Let us pray. Holy God, we do give you thanks for the restoration that you promise within. Take each of us and the old and the worn and the weary. Renew, revitalize, and restore us yet again, that we might not look the way we once did, but we might be returned to a place of vitality and faithfulness. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. as we respond and reflect on God's word and on God's love and goodness in our lives. Out of the generosity of our hearts, we have this opportunity to give from our tithes and our offerings and to the Deacons Fund and all of the good work that will be revealed through what it is that we bring.